There's a story that just came out that Christian McCaffrey was involved in a scuffle during a joint practice with the Patriots that left a fan injured. McCaffrey, who was out of bounds, was knocked to the ground by Pats defensive lineman Dietrich Wise Jr., who landed on a fan during the ensuing scrum. McCaffrey responded by spiking the ball at Wise's feet. That started a fight that carried over into the stands. The woman suffered a swollen foot but refused treatment from the Pats medical personnel. Why would you do that? They would have, listen, if you could pick a hospital in the United States or an NFL team, pick the NFL team. They'd have better medical treatment. Wise reached out to apologize. McCaffrey shook her hand. The Patriots offered her tickets to a game this season. I'm saying she's going to sue. She's going to sue someone. It's the States. You know, well, let's start there with my next guest, Josh Inglis from Covers.com. What odds do you give that this woman is going to do a class action lawsuit against the Patriots, against the Panthers, against McCaffrey, against Dietrich Wise, against Goodell, against Deshaun Watson, against Belichick? What odds do you give that it's going to be a big old, lawsuit?
Matty Cause, what's up, bud? What an intro. There's a lot of people on that list, and my new favorite word this week is literally litigious. And basically, as Canadians, we're not as litigious as Americans, so pretty much any chance that you can get in there, you're probably going to do it.
The fact that she said no to the medical treatment for the Pats, that screams, I'm going to a private doctor. His name is N. Riviera, or Nick R., and there is going to be
everybody.
Hello, you have got Belichickitis. The only cure is $7 million. That was a horrible Dr. Nick Riviera impersonation. All right, let's get the show back on track here. Josh, I know Alek Manoah was on the mound, but how the hell are the Jays still such favorites? Like, I told everyone yesterday, bet Baltimore. They're like +180. Like, just they're playing great. The Jays are playing bad. How are the Jays getting still such fat odds? They're -174 today. -174.
And that was one of the first things I did when I wrote my preview this morning. If you were on the fence with Manoah for the Orioles at +180, you're looking today, we could get it at +150. That's a no-brainer. The difference between Manoah and Stripling's pretty big, considering Stripling is coming off the IL with the glute. And I think in his first two starts, Schneider hasn't let him go more than 18 batters. So the bullpen's going to have to probably lug some weight again. And we know versus Baltimore, if it's a war of bullpens, you know who's going to win that battle. So I got money on the under. It's gone from 9 to 8.5. And I'm on Baltimore at +150 because, like you heard before, the guest before me, Baltimore and Toronto's mindsets couldn't be any more different. The quotes coming out of Baltimore last night were so funny. They're like, we just have fun and we win, and then we just look up at the standings and see where we are, as opposed to Toronto, who's probably, you know what I mean, standing watching constantly after every game. So they don't have, they're playing happy-go-lucky for Baltimore, and that's a dangerous thing.
It really is, actually. And I looked at it, the Orioles, I think, are all the way down on FanDuel this morning at +550 to make the playoffs. They're a half game back, and I think, no one wants to bet on Baltimore, and I get it. Every year they lose 110 games. But at +550, that's not a bad little YOLO $10 bet.
$7.25 yesterday. I was on here yesterday talking to the Tat Man. $7.25 it was yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, not to unit shame, I put a whopping $7 down on the Orioles to win the AL East to win $1,000 right now.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Josh, can we talk more about unit shaming for a moment? Because I'm sorry, I that now is in my head.
I thought we just got this back on the tracks, Matt.
that is true. Unit shaming usually is something that we did more in the 80s and 90s when we were a less progressive society than we are now in 2022. Onwards and upwards. Okay, can I throw a can I throw a prop bet at you? Instead of unit shaming, you can cause shame or praise. Are you ready?
100%.
Cedric Mullins, Springer, and Vlad to all just get a hit. If you combine the three, that's plus 136. I put $5 down. I got about $8 coming my way. Your thoughts?
I mean, why not? I don't have the numbers in front of me for projections on what either of those guys have, but I'm just worried about the Jays mailing in today for an afternoon game with a four game in the Bronx on deck. You know what I mean? It's leapfrog day. The Orioles could literally be ahead of the Jays in the standings heading into tomorrow, and I can't remember the last time that actually existed.
I can't. Yeah, I mean, you have to go back to 16 or 17. But, yeah, Mullins, he's beginning of August, he's hitting .314. Springer has got a hit and two for four and then one for four on Tuesday. So he's getting hits. And Vlad is, you know, he's hit safely in 25 of his last 26 games. Each one of those guys is like minus 260 or worse. Throw them together at plus 136 and put down a couple dollars. Moving off of the Blue Jays. My other favorite bet is the Dodgers to win and the under of 8.5 runs. They're taking on the Milwaukee Brewers. It's Tony Gosselin on the mound. The man is 14-1. On the other end, Eric Lauer for Milwaukee's 8-4 with an ERA well under 4. So I love the under. The Dodgers rarely ever lose two in a row. And that's at plus 200. I put $5 down to win me a whopping $10. So, Josh, your thoughts? Dodgers plus the under.
You might be feasting on a free hot and ready there, Matt, with your winnings over there. Don't get too excited. But I don't like Gonsolin's a funny one, right? Like he's a guy that projectionists still think that he's playing above what he's doing. I think he has a batting average of balls in play of 200, which is nuts, and a stranded left on base percentage of 80. So. His expected metrics, I know you guys love when we throw around those words, expected. Who's expecting these metrics? The expected metrics, I mean, he's pitching above his means, obviously, and he's on the road, and I'm actually on Gonsolin under 17.5 outs at plus 130. I mean, both our plays can win because we know the transition to the Dodgers' bullpen is one of the best. Dave Roberts has no issues pulling the plug pretty quickly, but like you said, the Dodgers are plus 335 to win everything for a reason, because this is the best lineup in baseball, the best team in baseball. Whether or not you like Dave Roberts or not, that's another question, but these guys are just massive favorites. And you saw it with the Milwaukee game last night. They were down 2-0. I think they came back. Milwaukee, I think, won in extras last night. So
yep.
I have no issues with getting on the Dodgers after a loss there, Cuz.
Yeah, and first time since June 25th, and just the third time this year, L.A. was an underdog. Like it's August 17th. It's only the third time all year the Dodgers were an underdog. That in itself is an incredible statistic.
And I'm sure a lot of people were betting on that fact, too, and look how it turned out for the books, unfortunately.
By the way, true or false, and again, joined by Josh Inglis, betting analyst at covers.com. When you started to do baseball analytics, did you do your Seinfeld voice? Because it sounded like you did.
Yeah, that was that's my only funny bit I have on the radio. Who's expecting these runs?
What's the deal with Joey Gallo? He strikes out in the Dodgers. Anyway, Oh, that's a bad Seinfeld. Oh, I didn't realize how horrible
Gallo is. So happy to be out of New York and the Bronx. Did you hear like some of the quotes he had? Like he couldn't even go outside. The man was scared to go outside because how terrible, literally, that the Yankee fan base is. It kind of made you think of like the Leafs and people playing in town and probably not wanting to be here either. But now I don't know. He's flourishing. He's doing well for the Dodgers, who I think are 11-2 since getting him.
Yeah, and I think he's hitting like .230. That for him, that's like 400 for it's like a 400 for anyone else. Moving off of baseball, I know you cover the NFL. What I found interesting is that over the last little bit, the Eagles and the Washington Commanders, their win totals have gone up by an entire win. Philly started at 8.5; it's now 9.5. Washington, for some reason, went from 7.5 to 8.5. Then on top of that, if you get rid of the Bears, The most money being spent on a team total under bet is the Cowboys and their 10.5 wins. And my theory, Josh, is all of this is because they had 17 penalties in a preseason game and no one trusts Mike McCarthy, and that pushed Philly and Washington's win totals
up.
And like, it's crazy. And I want to get your thoughts. Like, it feels like the betting community, everyone is jumping off the Cowboys train.
And I don't know what's really to be excited about the Cowboys this year. I mean, honestly, Amari Cooper's gone. We know that. Right tackle Lyle Collins is gone. That's a massive loss. I mean, they did draft the position, so there's that. Jalen Smith, he had 6 sacks last year. There's missing pieces, and they all haven't been added. This went from like a really good passing team to now C.D. Lamb and insert name that you probably don't know into wide receiver 2 for week 1, as Michael Gallup probably won't be ready for week 1. If you follow, it's always funny. Like, we look at the schedule, we look at, oh, it's 12-4, whatever they were last year, 12-5. And then you kind of look at, like, what happened, how they got that, like, what happened last year. The Cowboys won 5 of their final 6 games, but they did so versus Taysom Hill and the Saints that were coming off COVID. They beat Mike Glennon and the Giants, Taylor Heineke and Washington when they also had a major COVID outbreak. And then they beat the Eagles by a million points, whatever, in that Week 18 game. So the number is very different. That's why from 12-5, we're seeing a total of 10 now. Basically, if you can find 10 at even money, I think that's kind of where it is now. But I think that's why you're seeing the other numbers go up, because obviously these guys have to play each other that many times. So I think it's a less influence on what people think Dallas is going to do this year. And then in so, the market has to react to bring up, obviously, Philadelphia, who could be one of the best running teams in all of football this year. And then I don't get the Washington stuff, but
I mean, I don't either.
That's just how the market has to react. I mean, those wins have to go somewhere. They don't just disappear when they change those numbers.
I love the under of Washington. Chase Young's been banged up, and it's Washington. By the way, Josh, as we end this, I have tragic news. George Springer has now been given the day off. He gets a maintenance day. So my 3-player parlay of Vlad, Springer, and Mullins to all record a hit at $5, that would have won me $6.81. The dream is dead, my friend. The dream is dead before it even a chance.
It's a 2-player parlay with a void now. You're okay. It will push.
Oh, that's so now, right. Now feel good story of the year.
Now you can win $5 and not even buy a hot and ready.
But now I'm happy again. I'm like Joey Gallo when I'm driving on the Pacific Coast Highway. Oh, thank God I'm not in New York anymore. Josh, always appreciate. By the way, people need to know this. Go to coverage.com every day. When I am prepping for the show and I am looking at the games that I want to bet on, I always go to the game previews because there's always little nuggets of information that I cut and paste using my script. It is quick, it is easy, it is handy, and it is tried, true, and tested on this show. So go to coverage.com. Thank you so much, Josh.
Appreciate the plug as always, Matt. Enjoy your week. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Absolutely, we will. That is Josh English. Follow him on Twitter @covers_Josh. And I go to covers.com every day.